When the NSA and the government is spying on you through your Xbox, when it takes the FBI to come into Los Angeles and clean out its corrupt jail system, including arresting 18 sheriff's deputies, and Christians are still burning witches alive at the stake. Folks, if you didn't know what was going on in this country and around the world, I'm Hart D. Fisher, and I'm about to give you a motherfucking heart attack. Folks, you are listening to Heart Attack. I am Heart. With me is my always grumpy co-host, Josh Hadley. Josh, how you doing today?
Mumble, mumble, grumble, gripe.
Exactly, exactly. And as I mentioned it at the opening there, I can't believe they're still burning witches. And here in the United States, we've got major issues with police and jail corruption. But hey, that's nothing new if you've been listening to Heart Attack on a regular basis.
That video was brutal, man.
Oh yeah, that brutal, that witch getting burned alive was fucking god awful. And I didn't mean that as a pun, straight up, it's god awful. But I want to get right into a shout out real quick to the pharmacies that are still alive and servicing people's pain medication needs here in Los Angeles and Highland Park. I want to give a shout out to the Studio 58 guys, the guys at Up in Smoke, the folks at the Green Earth Collective. And I've got some other friends that are about to reopen their pharmacy, too. And when they've got that set up, I'll announce them also. Because as we know, I am an advocate for different forms of managing pain. And my wife's a cancer survivor. And we know that medical marijuana actually does help people. It helps people for glaucoma. And I wish my father had had it because he had crippling arthritis and his prescription drugs killed him. So with us today, we have a very special guest. I'm kind of cracking up on this because my past is coming back to haunt me. You folks may know him as Lucian Graves, but to me, he's Doug. Doug, welcome to Heart Attack.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Your name that people know you by, Lucian, why would people know you by that name?
Well, because that's the name I started with using with the Satanic Temple. At first, you know, I really wanted to keep my name out of it. It was more about the cause. We were building up this kind of mission. And at first, we were just kind of throwing this stuff out there and would maybe, you know, with the possibility that we'd back out, just turn it into a film project and leave it alone. But now it's become something far bigger. It's something, you know, we really believe in. And
what we're hinting around here, guys, is Doug is one of the people involved in, they're trying to erect a statue in Oklahoma City, correct? And you
correct.
You want to get this erected because they're going to be erecting a Christian monument there. They've won some kind of law. They're going to put it on state grounds, which is public grounds. And let's remember, folks, America was founded on the beliefs and the point of we fled England because we were fleeing from religious persecution. America was founded on the belief that you have the right to worship in whatever manner you please. This country was founded on religious tolerance. That's right, folks. This was not founded on Christianity. Our culture was not founded on one religion, guys. We are a melting pot of many religions, and that's one of the most important parts of America, is that we have the freedom and the ability to worship in any way we please without fear of government persecution. Unless you're a Satanist. And that's what's going on here. These guys have won the right to, it's legal for them to want to put up their monument for their religion, for their deity. And in fact, I think it's kind of funny that you guys are getting such a fight from these folks, these Christian freaks, because isn't Satan a part of their religion too?
Well, yeah, and actually they already have their Ten Commandments monument up.
So they've already got a monument up.
Yeah, it went up in 2009.
Well, the ACLU filed a suit, and I think the suit was only dropped in August, or it was dismissed by the court. The Attorney General of Oklahoma took it up. And they were saying that now it's okay to have it there. And they said they intended to have the state capitol grounds be a monument park. So we figured that was an open invitation. I mean, the fact is the law can't be discriminatory. And they tried to get around the Establishment Clause, which is interpreted to mean separation of church and state, by claiming that this was, for one thing, a donation from a private individual, Mike Ritz, who's also part of the legislature in Oklahoma. He donated this Ten Commandments monument. But they said also that it's a historical monument now. Now they're claiming that it's a historical monument.
Historical for a fairy tale?
Right. It's a historical monument which had helped form the basic founding legal principles of the United States is what they're saying. And you know, I've been on these panel discussions, and I was on Huffington Post Live with these legal scholars, and they were saying, well, do you have a historical argument? Which is kind of odd to go in that direction, I think. I mean, the connection between the Ten Commandments and the American Constitution is tenuous at best. And
our founding fathers made a real point to separate the church from the state so that you would not have a church-state totalitarian society, which is what I'm talking about with religious freedom. And our country was founded on this. The Puritans were being prosecuted and persecuted by the Church of England, and they were being killed and jailed for their religious beliefs. So when they came to this country, they said, look, we don't want to have that happen to anybody else. You practice your religious belief any way you want. So for them to turn around and say it's a historical issue when the Ten Commandments, fucking fairy tale, motherfuckers. It's a goddamn fucking fairy tale. Why don't
you also have to look at the fact that they see their religion as the only one that is worthy of superseding the separation of church and state. There was a similar case. We talked about it on What the Fuck. I think it was in like Oklahoma or something, where a certain county won the right to teach religion in schools. That's how they worded it. Then they quickly tried to rescind their own amendment when they found out that one of the teachers said, call in your bluff, we're going to start teaching Islam. They're like, no, we meant Christianity should be taught in schools, not one of those darker religions. No.
Well, yesterday, some clown from the American Family Association came out and explained how the First Amendment was only meant to protect Christians. He was specifically talking about our monument proposal also. According to him, when the Founding Fathers said religion, they meant Christianity.
That is a really narrow-ass view of things, isn't it?
Wow. We know guys like Benjamin Franklin hated religion. They hated it. And there were many arguments about having any kind of religious language in the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. If you actually go and study your history and you turn off the fucking boob tube and actually pick up a goddamn book and read it from the library, you might learn something, motherfuckers. This kind of thing happening in this country is insanity because the First Amendment is meant to protect unpopular speech. That's the whole point of the First Amendment, is you must protect unpopular speech because that's what they go after first for the censorship. That's how it starts.
I've seen people saying that this is just a publicity stunt, and I don't see it like that. How do you respond to the people who say you're just making a publicity stunt to get into the news? I look at it as you're actually calling their bluff and seeing what they're going to do next, so I'm applauding you for that.
Yeah, well, if people knew the reality, which is I fucking hate being in the news. I honestly hate it. Personally, I hate it. I love the issue being brought out. I love the fact that people are talking about this. And of course, I want attention on the issue. So it's hard to know where people are really coming from at all when they say, well, you just want attention. You want publicity. Well, yes and no. I mean, I do want publicity for what we're doing. I want the issue out there. You know, I want to bring this to a head and have us delineate and define exactly where we stand on these issues. And I want to provide some kind of voice for the traditional outgroup where they can, you know, where we can finally realize that we are a civilized society where we don't have to go on these asinine witch hunts or malign people unjustly as we commonly do. So yeah, I want publicity, but it's not just a self-gratification kind of self-indulgent type of publicity, which I guess is what they're implying.
It seems to me what you're doing is you're trying to shed light on an issue, and the idea of the publicity is to get people to discuss the issue at hand.
Right, to get them to think clearly about it too. And there's, I think there's multiple things that we're forcing people to think about when we do this. And I think they're all good things. I think this is all a good and productive dialogue to have to make people. I think it's actually a good thing now that I'm looking around and having these people very angrily protesting that I'm not a Satanist. I cannot be a Satanist. And because they have their own definition of what a Satanist is, hopefully they'll come to the point where they realize what an asinine argument that is, that you can't define somebody else's religion for them or tell them they can't take on a certain
sounds like they've seen the devil's reign too many times.
Right. Right. Exactly. And, but you know, they should have to reevaluate their prejudices and judge people for what their concrete actions in the real world. And we shouldn't dance around this kind of hypocrisy when it comes to separation of church and state and free speech. Either we have it or we don't.
You also have the issue that people are already starting to marginalize this exact issue. I saw someone on, it was either Fox News or CNN, say, what next? Are we going to put up a monument to the Church of the Subgenius and the Flying Spaghetti Monster next? They seem to see Satanism as some sort of, and keep in mind, I'm an atheist, so I'm not judging your religion one way or the other. They seem to be looking at Satanism as sort of an inferior religion because, you know, Christianity is the only true religion.
And the whole
I'm an atheist too. I'm a satanic atheist. And the thing is I view
that
religion
must really fuck up their heads, dude. When you say I'm a Satanist atheist, that must just their heads just mean like be scanning like.
Well, actually, Alan Colmes, I did the Alan Colmes show last night, and he's that little pussy who does the. Who acts as the so presumed counterbalance to Sean Hannity on Fox News?
Oh.
He couldn't get past that one point before he decided he just had to hang up and he told the later caller that he wished he hadn't had me on at all. And his whole shtick was that he was claiming, well, you know, you can't be a Satanist. You're not a Satanist. And he was going on that I'm not a Satanist, and you know, a Satanist is obligated to believe in Satan. I was trying to explain that I think religion works best as a narrative construct, as a philosophical construct by which you live your life, but it's malleable enough that you can conform your beliefs to the best current scientific understandings of the day. You're not forced to conform the scientific knowledge of the day to your beliefs. That's backward, you know, but you can contextualize your life and your work in such a way that's enriching to you, and for lack of a better term, spiritual. But I don't think religion should obligate you to believe in untenable beliefs that don't correlate to reality at all. That was far too much for Colmes, you know. But
they really
I'm impressed. A lot of people seem to get it. They seem to understand that's a legitimate point of view. That we have this aesthetic body, we have this viewpoint, we have Satan as a symbol of the revolt against tyranny and arbitrary authority in general, and for the pursuit of knowledge, no matter how uncomfortable that knowledge might be. It doesn't require us to believe in an almighty supernatural being.
I really have real trouble with the fact that they keep coming to, you know, Christian and Western civilization, Christian. It's a real ignorance of the foundations of Christianity. Christianity is founded. It's a Middle Eastern religion. It's not even a Western religion. Jesus was the king of the Jews. It's a Jewish religion founded by Jewish people in a Jewish land. I crack up on it when they're trying to say it's foundation of Western culture. Whitewashed, scrubbed down version that you've kind of turned it into. Yeah, maybe that is. And that's not even the founding principles of our country. Our country's architecture was much more related to the principles of the Freemasons, and it was about Masons and their ideologies and their educations, and it wasn't about fucking religion at all. But on that note, we're going to go to a song, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk to Doug about the climate of these talk shows versus when I was doing the talk shows in my day. That was my friend Matt Zane in Society One with Fornicate. And Zane is, he's back in the studio. The band's back together. They're recording new tracks. They've been playing at the Viper Room here in Hollywood. If you get a chance to catch Matt live, you really want to, because he really is good live. I saw him on the 666 Eve, and that was a hell of a good night, hell of a good time, and lots of blood and body piercings everywhere. And speaking of blood and body piercings, it's what you normally think of when you think of Satanism. But we're going to kind of fuck up your heads here. We have a great guest. I'm Hart Fisher. With me is Josh Hadley. And we have Lucian Greaves. And Lucian Greaves, I know him as Doug. And you know, you and I have kind of talked to each other off and on for like at least over. Did you know me in the 90s?
That's possible. That's possible.
It was one of Danzig's friends that called me up and said, hey, I've got this friend. He really wants to come on the show, and he knows that you're going to let him get his own viewpoint across instead of the usual talk show bullshit where they just bring you on as the punching bag. Has that been your experience as you've gone on in these new talk shows?
Well, that was, yeah, right up front, that was the thing right when we started this. And right from the beginning, I preferred doing people's podcasts. And there's something about the network or the satellite radio shows, I don't know what the motivation is. It seems that there's a certain market for them to actually just be ignorant and not know who they're talking to or why. I can't imagine that they're that busy that they don't have the opportunity to at least Google you up before they talk to you. So it's always nice to come on a show where the person who is speaking to you is actually the person who wants to speak to you, rather than going through some producer who's vetting you and seems to want to speak to you, him or herself, and then you get on the show and you end up with a brainless idiot like Alan Colmes.
Oh, I had the same problem with like Sally Jesse Raphael and Jerry Springer and those guys in my day when I was doing this shit. And what I found is it was really easy to knock them off their game because you're right. They're ignorant. They don't know anything that's not on their cue card. So if you take them off track, off the card, or you force them to actually think, you could literally see the gears grinding behind their eyes. And they're like, I have to think. And they also, right. People at home don't know this, but these talk shows are a machine and they have plants in the audience. And when I say plants, I'm not talking about green fucking ferns. I'm talking about dummies, sock puppets. They're there to cheer when they're supposed to. They're there to cheer against the bad guy. They're there to ask questions. They're there to lead the audience to the conclusion that the producers of the show want them to have. And it's a loaded deck when you get on, stacked against you. So when you do these shows, I know exactly what you're talking about. This thing where people said to me, you know, Hart, oh, you just must love being on these talk shows. And I'm like, no, they're maligning my reputation. They're outright lying about me on the air and saying lies about me. This was the only way for me to get my point of view across and to discuss the issue without being destroyed. And I only did the talk shows so I could discuss the issues that I was being castigated for on a national level. The only way to defend myself was to go through the mill.
Yeah, you know, I've got to say, though, I expected worse this time around, and I'm thinking that the amount of support I've gotten, and you know, there has been some balanced media on this. I'm actually impressed overall, given what we're doing and how it's handled. But it's funny, some of the most vocal opponents of the Monument Proposition have been too weak-kneed, apparently, to appear on anything with me when I was doing this. I was doing this panel discussion that can be seen online somewhere. They were supposed to have somebody from they reached out to the Liberty Institute, which is this specifically Christian legal organization. They wouldn't do it. They released a statement to go along with it, which was read off. They shouldn't have given them that benefit. But nobody showed up, and the legal scholars who did show up, they weren't on the attack at all. They were just figuring out, you know, what is Oklahoma going to do, and you know, kind of putting it to me what I might do, and even almost advising me on what they feel our message will have to be if we want to get this through. You know, this kind of disingenuous intellectualizing we have to do to keep from being excluded, even though the issue seems quite clear to me. On the show I did last night, they had booked Representative Bob Cleveland from Ohio to come on with me. And he was one who immediately came out to the Associated Press and referred to the Satanic Temple as nuts. You know, we were just nuts.
Because, you know, the Satanic Temple, it's so much more nuts than, say, I don't know, Scientology. It's so much more nuts than, oh, I don't know, Moonies. Oh, it's so much more nuts than, oh, I don't know, fucking Mormons. Motherfucking Mormons. Give me a break. That I fucking choke on Mormonism. I choke on it. It was a doomsday cult, and when doomsday didn't happen, they changed their religion around. They just made it all up, and they changed it all around. And now I'm supposed to act like a presidential candidate who's part of this wacky fucking cult, and I'm supposed to behave like his thing's okay, but your thing is supposed to be wacky, dude.
Well, he also said that any monument placed on Oklahoma grounds should reflect the values of Oklahomans. And I thought that was ironic because he would obviously be, for one thing, I don't know whose values he's talking about, if he's presuming to know what our values are, you know, what the satanic values are, and if he can tell me how they depart from the Oklahoman values.
And they've got a long history in Oklahoma of censorship.
He would be horrified.
Doug, I don't know if you knew this, but Oklahoma City has, and Oklahoma State has, a long history of serious censorship and violating their rights of their citizens. I don't know if you knew about my story with A Taste of Cherry, this comic I co-wrote for Danzig's Veronica 4 that is banned in Oklahoma as obscene material. And the debacle over that whole thing was ridiculous. They charged these guys, these store owners, with peddling child porn and all kinds of crazy shit to scare them and to get them to just cop to a guilty plea. And after they got these guys, law enforcement went to Blockbuster and illegally ransacked Blockbuster's rental records and went to people's homes and seized copies of the German art film The Tin Drum, which is actually taught in universities around the world, including the U of I where I went. And they seized it, and they actually got busted because the last home they went to grab the tape from was an ACLU lawyer's house. And they just broke the law like crazy. They don't give a fuck about the people in Oklahoma. They don't care. That's just windy, smoky bullshit to throw up in front of what you're trying to say. If this religion has the validity to put up a monument, then my religion has the validity to put up a monument, because that's the American way, goddammit.
Well, and it's really ignorant to say that there's some kind of uniform monolithic voice of Oklahoma also, because I've gotten a flood of email. As I said, it was originally Oklahomans who came to us with this. So we're representing some people in Oklahoma when we already do this. But since this story has come out, we've gotten a flood of supportive emails from people in Oklahoma because they feel that. They feel that oppression. They you know, not everybody likes that. We've had emails that have opened up saying, I'm a Christian, however, you know, and that's quite moving, really, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, if
didn't Jesus say turn the other cheek, and you know, you want to accept the fallacies of your fellow man, and you want to accept them as who they are. That's what their quote big boy Jesus said, but they sure aren't following it, are they?
Well, I also thought this kind of core value was one of inclusion as well. That was the idea that did not Jesus open up the Torah to all, and mm-hmm. he bring the Jewish law into the Goyim sphere?
There was a Hustler comic strip a few years ago that just showed an average guy on the street talking to a figment of Jesus, and it said, "Jesus, please protect me from your followers."
Right.
Ay. It's pretty interesting how audiences and the times have changed, because I have noticed there's a difference in folks. Like the comments, my YouTube channel, Crime Pays Heart, find it. I've got clips up there from all of my talk show days. And a lot of that stuff was in the early 90s to mid 90s to late 90s. And you can see, if you go back on the comments, I've had these clips up for like 10, 12 years, and you could go back and see the difference in the commentary on just the YouTube comments has changed especially in the last 5 or 6 years. I think the youth, and I'll say it, the internet has opened up a vast reservoir of conversation, and we have been able to have national discussions with each other, share information in a way we've never been able to do before. And guys like you are able to get on the air and escape the corporate beatdown and just present your point of view. And audiences want to hear it.
Yeah, they do. And that's where I've been. That's where I've been putting my stuff for as long as I've been at it. I've been a writer, you know, I've been a journalist, and I easily get sick of weak kneed editors who are afraid of lawsuits or afraid of, mm-hmm. of putting out actual information, afraid of fact checking me so that they know the most incendiary material is true. And it's just more convenient to turn something down. So I have a body of work that I consider very well done. It's certainly very well fact checked and very well noted.
Where can people find your work, Doug? Where can people find your work? When you say you're a journalist, where could somebody read your material?
Process.org, which I do with a couple of other guys, skinny puppy veterans, actually. That, you know, I've done exposés at length where I've torn apart psychiatrists and other quacks. And, you know, it's kind of hard to sell that kind of thing when everybody's looking for just a quick soundbite type material, something that's really kind of punchy.
Photo caption. Yeah, they want a photo caption for an article.
Right. They're not really interested in research or deeper meaning or social consciousness in general.
The fact that you had so much support, and I've been reading some of these comments on some of these pages, and because you and I had talked a little bit when I was booking you for the show and you were telling me about this. So I went to look it up, and I got to admit, I was pretty surprised the support you were getting. And that really gave me hope that people were actually thinking for themselves, actually making up their own mind and going, you know what? If those guys can play baseball, these guys get to play baseball. And that's fucking it. So if you get to put your monument up, and after you guys, I mean, sure, there should be somebody from the Nation of Islam putting up their fucking monument. We should have Muslim monuments up there. I mean, it's going to open up the playing field and the conversation much, much deeper than what they want to discuss.
Well, actually, the Hindus put in yesterday, and they applied. They also they also submitted to the commission, as we did, and said that they would like to put up a monument of their own now. So, I mean, I was really happy to see that, and I hope Oklahoma gets flooded with requests. They wanted a monument park.
I think they're going to get it, man. They're going to get it.
They should.
It might end up, you know, in 10 years, this might be a kick-ass monument to religious tolerance for all we know.
Right. Well, it should
be. It might end up being that way. That would be great.
That's exactly what I was saying with our monument, that, you know, with our monument complementing and contrasting the Ten Commandments monument, it becomes a whole new message. It's a message of inclusion and religious plurality, which is really what the country was founded on.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, folks, we've got Lucian Greaves here with us, a.k.a. Doug. My friend Josh Hadley. I'm Hart Fisher. We're going to break for commercial. We'll be right back, and I'm going to compliment this man on another little stunt he pulled that made me laugh and laugh and tickled me pink.
Be the first fiend on your block to send out holiday fears with the official American Horrors Christmas Cards. That's right, American Horrors Christmas Cards, available for a limited time only at AmericanHorrors.com/store. Show the world what kind of monster you are and just how big your balls are by wearing the new American Horrors t-shirt. The official American Horrors t-shirt is now available for just $24.95, plus shipping and handling at AmericanHorrors.com/store. Get your shirt, get your Christmas card, or get your comic books today.
Psychedelic and you came from miles. Keep my mom's dick like a game is treat.
Hey you guys, Hart D. Fisher here from Heart Attack. And guess what? It's time for a Hydra Blue spot. That's right, we're going to promote some Hydra Blue. Why? Because it's some really kick-ass water. You want to know how I make it through my crazy workload and my crazy partying schedule? Ha! I got one word for you. Actually, two. Hydra Blue. If you use the coupon code word horror, you're going to get 15% off your order. That's right. Use the coupon code word horror at HydraBlue.com today, and you will get 15% off your order. Now remember, guys, this is stuff that I pay for out of my own pocket. I actually am a customer and I have enjoyed this water. It's fantastic, tastes great, keeps me energized and hydrated. I just love it. So go to Hydra Blue and get your water today. But you know what? It's not always about selling stuff here at Heart Attack. Sometimes you just want to promote something cool, like Eddie Brandt's Saturday Matinee. It's a really kick-ass VHS store. What? Did I say VHS store? Yes, I did. It's a VHS store in the heart of North Hollywood, California. They're located at 5006 Vineland Avenue, but it's not just for the locals. You can order some of those killer movies you see on American Horrors online at www.ebsmvideo.com. That's www.ebsmvideo.com. Check it out today and tell them Hart sent you.
Welcome back to Heart Attack. I'm Hart Fisher. With me is Josh Hadley, and we have a really cool guest in here that the public knows is Lucian Greaves, and I know him as Doug. Doug, I'm really glad you made the time to talk to us. I know that you have been blown up with media requests over this monument you and that you're trying to have erected in Oklahoma over your religion. What would you call your religion?
Satanism.
Just flat out Satanism, not the Temple of Set or the Temple of Satan. It's just flat out Satanism.
Well, we're the Satanic Temple.
Gotcha.
But what we do is Satanism.
The Anton LaVey Satanism.
No, we take departure from LaVey. LaVey's a great starting point. LaVey did define an atheistic Satanism, but his organization kind of devolved into this autocratic totalitarian rhetoric, which I think is counterproductive. They still hold to these mystical rituals, and I think most people who are compelled to self-identify as Satanists do so out of a rejection for all of that, you know, all the trappings of ritual, all that conformity and standing in line. I think there's a very, very real drive to oppose that entirely, and I think that is Satanism. To me, the Satanism isn't in these political actions we do. It does demand that we do something productive in the real world. You know, not some kind of navel-gazing, airy, metaphysical type betterment, but really engage in the social political dialogue. Otherwise, it's just this kind of masturbatory self-image making that we see from some of the other organizations.
Do you think that what you're doing is helping the cause or trivializing it? And I'm not throwing an insult at you. Because I live outside of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and about 4 or 5 years ago, some judge decided that for Christmas, the courthouse would have a nativity scene with the baby Jesus in front of it in violation of church and state. The local Green Bay ACLU fought it, and they lost. So people started to mock it, and they started putting up Festivus poles and cartoon religions and all this stuff, to the point where the judge said, "You're not even fucking taking this seriously. I'll just take the damn thing down."
That's awesome, Josh.
So do you think that some people are seeing you as just mocking them or wanting the equal time that, frankly, I think you deserve?
That's hard to say. It's hard to play with people's perceptions or hard to gauge people's perceptions. Like I said, I'm happy about the support because for all I knew, I was just drawing a target on my head and walking out into the buzzsaw. So, you know, it's very pleasant to see we have certain amount of support. But on the idea of trivialization, I'm not going to be caught in this kind of trap where I decide I need to dress in a certain way that conforms with people's notions of what I'm supposed to be if I'm a real Satanist. You know, I'm not going to wear a black cape and walk around looking like an idiot. And I'm not going to feel this need to develop this rote protocol where everybody rise, everybody sit down. We're doing a ritual now that has no meaning, is devoid of value, but it's just one of these things we do for the theatrics. My theatrics are engaged with the real world, the outside world, and cause us to, you know, recontextualize what we're thinking about. It causes debate, causes dialogue, and then that's what I want.
Like the Pink Mass, before we went to break, I laughed my ass off, and I didn't even know it was you. Like, I didn't even know, like, it was a guy I knew that did this. My wife was the one who first saw it, and actually Waka does a lot of the heart attack on Facebook. She finds a lot of these stories and researches them for me, and actually handles a lot of the programming on my horror channel, American Horrors. She actually does a lot of the scheduling, and she brought this up and was laughing her butt off, and I'm like, what? Gotta read about this Pink Mass. Oh my God. And I laughed my fucking butt off. And then when I saw that you were like dipping your balls on this guy's grave, why don't you tell my audience what the Pink Mass was?
Yeah, well, the idea, it was a true story, actually, reported to the media. This wasn't just some kind of spin we put on it. In Boston, after the marathon bombing, Westboro Baptist Church threatened to come and picket the funerals of the people who died in the marathon bombing. So me and some other people from the Satanic Temple, we wanted to meet them when they came. When that time came, the Westboro Baptist Church had a failure of nerve. I mean, I'm sure they've been in some harrowing situations before, but you had all of Boston standing there fucking pissed, you know, and as well they should be, you know, those guys, there's nothing more deplorable.
There's an example I feel of a bunch of assholes that seem to me that they're so giddy to get publicity. They're like, when you see them being interviewed on television, they're giddy at being in the spotlight, and they seem to be willfully ignorant.
Right. Yeah. They're useful idiots in a way. They really rally people, and you know, we were able to use them as we did with the Pink Mass, but when it came to the marathon bombing, they were tweeting these images from the people waiting, the protesters or whatever. So apparently they had that, and they photoshopped an image of one of their ethereal old hags standing there holding a sign that said something like "God brought the bombs" or some stupid thing like that. And they were tweeting these messages like, "Well, we were with you in spirit, and we were wondering, how can we meet with the Westboro Baptist Church in spirit in a way that's just as audacious?" So we thought about this a bit, and we came up with the idea of doing this Pink Mass at the gravesite of Fred Phelps's mom. Fred Phelps is the founder of Westboro Baptist Church. His mother was buried in Meridian, Mississippi. So we went over there and had a couple gay couples make out at the gravesite.
I did
bounce my nuts off of the gravestone.
You get a invisible high five, low five, mid five, and slap in the ass for that one, man. That is just so awesome. I love that kind of, in my mind, public theater that actually promotes real conversation. And people go, how does dipping balls on somebody's grave promote conversation? But what you're doing is pointing out the ridiculousness of their activities with what
their beliefs. Because something that a lot of the media actually excised out from the interviews they did with me, because I was clear up front when I was doing these interviews with ABC and everybody else, because I got a lot of media on that also. From the very get-go, I was explaining to these media sources that I don't believe in the supernatural. I don't believe in the afterlife. So this idea of turning Fred Phelps's mother gay in the afterlife was for Fred Phelps. I was saying that our feeling was that due to his beliefs, his ridiculous, untenable, supernatural beliefs, we believe that he is obligated to believe that his mother is gay in the afterlife. And we took it a step further.
That's brilliant, Doug. That's brilliant. I'm dying. Well,
we took it a step further to underscore their ludicrous Supreme Court argument, in which they were essentially saying they could do whatever they want because their belief is inviolable. And we were saying that our belief is inviolable. Our right to believe that he believes that his mother is gay is inviolable no matter what he says. He can say he doesn't believe that, but we choose to believe that he believes his mother is gay in the afterlife.
And this is so fucking funny. I'm dying.
Well, the best part about it.
It's a voodoo mind punch, dude. It's a voodoo mind punch.
And the Westboro Baptist Church gave me the satisfaction of throwing a fit. You know, they made up a flyer about it, even one of their famous flyers.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
I know. What more could I ask for? To have the Westboro Baptist Church make one of their flyers denouncing me.
I know, dude. That's a badge of honor.
I know. I can't believe they would be so stupid as they wouldn't realize that either. Oh. But they truly are some ignorant, disgusting fucking people.
Oh, my God, dude. I'm just laughing at the idea of some idiot, you know, oh, they turned my mom gay. My mom's ghost is gay. Those dirty Satan sons of bitches. Oh,
well, you know, your mom's breath smells like pussy. We went to Mississippi and we did this, right? And we thought, well, we'll put out a little press release now and see what happens. And I thought, all right, this might get some marginal coverage. You know, the alternative.
That's what I did when I did the Dahmer book. I'm like, yeah, this will sell a couple of copies and I'll get to have my point of view expressed and then it'll disappear.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, we leave Mississippi and we go out to New Orleans and then we were fucking around down south for a while. But the story broke huge. I was looking at these headlines and they were so surreal. You know, Satanists turn Westboro Baptist Church founder's mother gay in the afterlife. This is in the headlines.
It's in the headline.
And I was thinking, this is surreal even for me, and I did this, you know. I couldn't imagine what some people waking up and going through the news reports were thinking when they caught on to that one.
Oh my God, man. And the fact that you guys are Satanists makes it even better. It's just, you couldn't make this shit up. You know what I'm saying? Like life is so much funnier. And you guys seem like, it really seems, Doug, like you're carrying on the work of the Merry Pranksters.
Yeah.
Do you know who they were? Abbie Hoffman and those political counterculture revolutionaries in the early 70s who were harassed by the government, harassed by the FBI.
Absolutely.
The stuff that you're doing now seems like you're having the same kind of impact, and you are getting a dialogue started to talk about these things. My hat's off to you.
And some people will say that, well, you're a merry prankster, and they'll also use that to try to marginalize the idea that I'm actually a Satanist. But to me, this is what Satanism is. You know, to me, that's an act of Satanism. You know, to me, there's a very deep drive for me to do these things. And like I said, it's not just for joy of the personal exposure, which I don't like at all. I want to see these things happen. I want to see these projects come to fruition. I want to be involved in that dialogue. To me, that's of the ultimate importance to me. That's my higher calling.
I really get where you're coming from on this. I really do. Because a lot of people thought like, oh, you just did the talk show's heart so you could be on TV. And it's like, no, that was the only way that I could be uncensored. Because when I would be interviewed for Entertainment Tonight or for CNN in a taped interview, they would recut it and they would destroy what I was saying and mislead people and completely destroy what I wanted to say. And that was one of the big things why I was a publisher, a comic book publisher. So I would have my own voice and I could discuss what I wanted to discuss and the platform I wanted to discuss it. And what I found was when people would attack me over my use of the word fuck or my use of the word cunt, if you are attacking the way I have phrased my message instead of the message, you just told me you've got no argument. And if people are attacking you and saying your prank is invalid because you're not a real Satanist, then you won because they're attacking whether or not you're a real Satanist, not the argument you're presenting, not the prank that you're dealing with. They're capitulating immediately when they go to try to marginalize and sidestep the issue. You've already won. They just told you, I've got no argument.
Yeah, exactly. And with the pink mask thing, that's what I was saying, is that a lot of the press, almost none of it at the outset, reported my comments about not believing in the supernatural. I mean, I made it quite clear to them, but they just didn't fit their story.
It didn't fit their story. I had the same issue.
Media has a predetermined outcome, and you only fit into how they get to that outcome.
Yeah, for me, they said that I was some dumb thug and I was some dumb Satanist, and I too am an atheist. I don't buy into the bearded guy. I mean, I think there's components out there beyond my ability to sense, but that's a whole other discussion. So the media portrayed me as this dumb thug when I was an honor roll kid, and they tried, and if it didn't fit their narrative, like you said, they just tossed it in the garbage and ignored it.
Right, exactly. You know, they're going for these punchy little sound bites, and especially with the pink mask, that's a great headline, you know. And why make people think? Why make people think by saying, well, you know, they did this ritual to turn her gay in the afterlife. They don't believe in the afterlife or postmortem gaying per se. But, you know, to me, that makes a better story. To me, that puts a more philosophical, thoughtful element into it. But
I worked in a newsroom for a decade. I saw how those kind of meetings went down. For instance, we had one story about a wrestling team, somebody had herpes, and the herpes got on the wrestling mat, so it infected the entire male wrestling team. So, of course, the headline that they go with, wrestling with herpes.
Oh!
Because you've and by the way, that took almost 40 takes for the anchors to get through the tees without laughing. They could not get through that goddamn headline without bursting out in laughter at some point. That took
Josh,
an hour to do that tease.
That is the perfect way to wrap up the show. Folks, we have hit the end of Heart Attack. Lucian, I want to thank you so much for coming. Where can people find you, Lucian, online?
TheSatanicTemple.com.
Awesome, awesome. I am so happy you came on. Folks, if you want to find me, I'm on there. Go to AmericanHorrors.com or find us on Facebook. Find old episodes of the show at 1201beyond.com. And buy some shirts, guys. We've got some official American Horrors Christmas cards that are available for the holiday season, and shirts. If you want to support the show, if you want to help us out, guys, we need money to buy Christmas presents for our family. So when you buy these shirts, they go to us. So buy some shirts at 1201beyond.com or AmericanHorrors.com/store. Find me on Twitter, Hart_Fisher, or Facebook.com/Heart Attack Radio. You guys have a great one. Have a very satanic Saturday night.
Stay. Heart Attack is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.